knee. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rig Biz Podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and today...
Listen, mate. They know that you're here. They know I'm here. Just go and get your guitar.
My guitar?
Just go and get your guitar.
What do you want to play?
A bit of Simon and Garfunkel. Now, listen, guys. Just close your eyes and listen. The end is near. Woo! The end is near. Here we go.
April. Come she will. Come she will. April, come she will, come she will. We'll be rigging in the gyms, we'll be lashing on the commons. Yes, we will, yes, we will. As it April, come she will, come she will. Hey, bro, come she will.
Woo! We're back, baby! We're back! Clodie, I am pumped.
You're so happy.
Oh.
You've just heard the announcement.
I can see the end.
The end
is in touching distance.
You're no longer going to have to be by yourself for another year.
Come April, we will be lashing, we will be rigging. And life will be sweet.
April the 12th is the big day. The gyms reopen. The pubs are open.
And mate, they've given me a date. It's a date I can focus on now. It's like a pre-season.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got another pre-season. And then we'll be back playing Rugger. We'll be back in Infernos. And business will be booming.
Only 6 weeks
Q3.
To go, really.
Bring on Q3. It's
going to
be monumental, mate. It's
going to
be
wait.
Monumental.
Well, have you been enjoying the luxuries of life?
Woo!
I mean, the sun has started to shine anyway.
Yeah, that was a good sign.
Did you enjoy yourself over the weekend?
Yeah, I did a bit of sunbathing on the weekend.
Just testing
the common. The weather was decent. I just got out there, pair of rugby shorts, wife beater flip flops, and was just trying different areas of the common. Definitely the best area is that bit, you know, in Clapham Common by the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, near number 32.
Yeah.
A lot of cheekers walked down that way. But me and Weta did a bit of boxing on the pads on Saturday morning. And then in the afternoon, we just did a bit of chipping. We moved to the proper Clapham Common. Yeah, just chipping. Just practicing my chipping because, you know, golf is back.
Yep.
And that means client meetings will be back. So, mate, I'm just pumped.
Yeah. You seem in a really good mood.
I'm in a bloody good mood.
Looks like you've got a bit of a tan. You look better. You look more healthy.
Yeah. The sun was good. A lot of people got a lot of weird looks, but... You know, I felt good. I just sat there in a pair of shorts, reading the FT, and just imagining what it's going to be like. And now I don't even need to imagine.
Yeah.
It's coming like a freight train.
And you've got...
It's only a matter of time before the common is full.
Yeah, no,
chassis and chassiettes.
It's incredible.
The pill will be flown around. Oh, I could cry. I could cry, mate.
And it looks like you got your body fat down a bit. Are you still doing the old fitness food thingy?
Fresh fitness food. At least to the end of April.
Yeah.
I mean, the macros, the micros, whatever it is, mate, it's working.
You celebrated sort of pancake day with a very healthy version of a pancake.
Yeah, I had a chocolate protein banana pancake.
Right, okay.
Delivered to my
door. It's a mouthful.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the chassis is feeling great. To be fair, when you do fresh fitness food, it just says you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you've got to cook.
Well, if our listeners wanted to get into the same shape
what do they do? This is one for the rigs out there. Just go on fresh fitness food, put in rig biz 50 and you get 50 pounds. I mean, what is that? That's nothing. Compared to the money you'd be spending come April.
That's one round in the sun to start off. Triangle Terror night out, isn't it?
Mate, get me in that Triangle Terror. Get me down the high street. Get me down Northcote Road. Wherever it is happening, I'll be there. I'll be opening up pubs, mate. That will be my job as a CEO. I'll be going down around.
You'll be cutting ribbons as the mayor.
I'll be cutting ribbons. I'll be lashing in every pub. I will be bringing the C.H.A.T. chat. Woo! Come on, guys!
Well, guys, if you want to get involved in that deal, of course, just go to...
I just imagine now someone's listening to this, Fred, as they're running, and they're just like, yes, come on!
Yeah, the end is an eye. Well, guys, go to the Fresh Fitness Food website and type in the code RIGBIS50 to get 50 quid off your 5-day trial. Well, Archie, we've got a wonderful guest on this week.
Before we do that, mate, big news, isn't it? It's your birthday this week.
It is, mate. Well, thank you for remembering, mate.
I've got you a little present.
You've got me a present?
Yeah.
Mate, thank you so
there
much.
There you go. Enjoy.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Thank you. Let me have it. Do you mind if I open it now?
It's the same present I got my PA.
Okay. Well, let me see what it... Oh, yeah. Well, I've already got one of these. Yeah. Okay.
It's the Manscaped Cologne.
It's the Manscaped Cologne. Thank you, mate. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I've already got one, which I'm making my way through, but this is...
You're welcome, mate.
Yeah.
You're
I'm not welcome. Firing through them at the same rate as you are.
Well,
you
I've bought quite a lot. They're a bloody good present to give someone. Amazing.
Have you started to use the code at least?
And to be fair, mate, you look like you need it.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, yeah.
Your hair's out of control. Yeah. You know, you got an earring, facial hair. You look like you may belong in East London.
Yeah,
You look like you smell of a dusty bookcase.
Yeah.
And with that cologne, it will make you smell like business.
Well, mate, thank you so much.
I used the code actually for that.
RIGBIZ20.
Yeah, RIGBIZ20.
Well, probably a good time to tell that the present I've just got comes from one of our sponsors, but Archie did actually buy it.
What? Are they still sponsoring the podcast?
Yeah.
That's free money.
Well,
it didn't really cost me anything because they will give me money back for advertising it.
Yeah. Well, you probably could just ask them, but anyway. So support for the RIGBIZ.
Could I just ask them?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. Need to get the details of that.
Do you want me to send you
I have connected with a few people in Manscaped. But they all seem to be in America.
Yeah. Natalie's the lady you want to get in contact with, the lovely lady. Anyway, guys, support for the RIGBIZ pod is actually brought to us by Manscaped, who are the best, as we know, in men's below-the-belt grooming. Everyone knows that Manscaped is the perfect package, and as my present has just shown, they've also brought out this incredible new cologne. Think of it as your wingman, as we've said, on a night out. And guess what? Those nights are nearing once.
Happy birthday to you.
Stop it.
Happy birthday
to you.
Thank you. Happy birthday, dear Clody. Happy birthday to you. Net your drink. Oh, mate. Oh, yes.
Mate, thank you. Well, guys, it's time to feel sexy
we
again.
We will be back in those pubs, mate.
I'm feeling just fantastic.
Chiefing beers left, right, and centre.
If you guys want
chopping beers left, right, and centre.
If you guys...
Necking beers left, right, and centre.
If you guys want to celebrate in the same vein...
Left, right, and centre, come on!
If you want to celebrate in the same vein and raise a glass for my birthday, then please go to the Manscaped website and you'll get 20% off everything and free shipping with the code RIGBIZ20. Come on, guys, not long now to sort out your pubes and start smelling nice. Well, Archie, we've got a specimen on the show today. I mean, what a character.
Mate.
Mr. Sean Strader.
Mate.
Yeah.
This guy is one word, rig.
Yeah.
This is probably the only guy I know that's got a better rig than me.
Well.
Oh, no, him in the fridge.
Well, you're talking about Sean.
But he has got a fantastic lid as well.
Yeah.
And he will have decent pitter-patter.
Yeah.
I'm pumped for this. I reckon me and him will get on pretty well.
Well, he's 2-time Pro Fitness World Champion, over 1.3 million on Facebook, founder of City Athletic, which I know you go to.
Yeah, love it.
Great gym.
Love it.
And he's been in the Maldives for the last sort of month and a half, just chilling out, really.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, his content he's been posting has been inspirational.
Yeah. Have you been doing some of the classes?
A lot of the HIIT classes I do.
Yeah. He's an incredible
person. Just when I've got 20 minutes free, I'll just pop on one of his videos and just work out, whether I'm in my suit, a pair of rugby shorts, whatever I am, it's just so accessible. I just want to start this interview, Staffs, and just say it is an absolute honour to have a man that has an exceptional chassis, but also an exceptional lid. It's the double threat. If you weren't making a killing in the fitness industry, you'd be making an absolute killing in the Ned, cleaning it up with clients.
Just all day. And you throw into the mix this facial hair, and I think it's a triple threat.
Yeah. You are...
Island facial hair.
You are someone... If I wasn't as successful as I am, you'd be someone that I would very much look up to. And if people don't follow you on Instagram, I highly recommend you do. It is a phenomenal rig. I mean, what body fat percentage are we talking, Staffs? Because
what now?
Yeah, I mean, it is glorious. Mate,
I've been the victim of the breakfast buffet for the last 7 weeks. So, and I've had COVID. So I probably came out to the Maldives in single figures, maybe.
Yeah.
At a push.
Yeah.
And then I'm probably hovering around maybe 12 or 13.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. But
you're probably the type of guy that can just look at a rig and know the body fat instantly.
Yeah, that is actually, if I was going on Britain's Got Talent, that would be my thing. I would say, right, get someone in the crowd up here now, take their top off, and I will tell you within 1% what their body fat is. But to be honest, you're holding, because I didn't want to say, but you did look like you might have put on a little bit of timber. But you hold it well.
Fraction. That is the sole reason why I've grown this pathetic attempt at a goatee, is because
I like it.
It distracts from the growth of a muffin top over my hips.
Stas, I like the facial hair. I love the lid, the rig. Although it's, you know, it is a bit shoddy, but nothing a couple of kettlebells can't sort out. It's it is a true honor to have you on the pod. Thank you so much,
Sean.
Freddie, are you joining this conversation?
I am. I'm enjoying you guys.
You're going to find there's going to be a lot of chanter happening.
Sean, you were born in London in 1983, and I'm guessing before you flew the nest to go study at Oxford many years later, this is where you sort of based yourself and were educated. I know you were a very handy rugby player back in the day, which we will touch on. But where in London are you from originally?
I wasn't actually born in London. I was born in Italy, believe it or not. But I've lived in London. I've lived in London since I finished uni. So that was about 15, 16 years ago.
When you attended Oxford, which you just mentioned there, you were merely weighing in at 70 kgs. And to be taken seriously in uni rugby, you had to up the ante somewhat. I read that your rugby coach sent you a message saying, unless you want to die, you best get to the gym and try and put on some weight. So how did you convert your body into the temple that it is today? What changes did you have to put in place?
Well, that's been a bit of a process, but at the start, because I was painfully skinny and trying to take a step up in rugby, it basically involved going to the gym twice a day, lifting as heavy as you can, and then in between kind of college meals in the canteen, eating a whole Tesco's value lasagna after training with a loaf of bread as the cutlery to try and get my calories in. But I went from about 70 kilos at 6'1" to about 90 kilos at 6'1" in about 6 months.
That's extraordinary, because, you know, for me, I'm always cutting weight. I stick to quite strict boiled eggs, boiled chicken and broccoli. I'm always cutting. I'm on sort of normally around a 750 calorie diet, but my dream would to bulk. One day when I get out of semi-pro rugby, I'll probably bulk and go into the sort of competitive fitness mode, and now I look forward to take on the calories. Is it hard to get all those down? You
back then, it was, you know, when you're used to eating not that much, literally I would go and have like a full breakfast, full English breakfast at the university canteen, and then, you know, lunch after training just to get those extra calories in. It was literally a full two person lasagna every day, just shoveling it in, and then dinner in the evening. So,
well, Sean, this change in build obviously worked a charm for you, because you ended up playing a record 5 varsity games at Twickenham for Oxford, winning each and every one. Firstly, what's it like playing at Twickers? When you look back at those times, you know, which was the game which really lives longest in the memory? But more importantly, how loose are the nights out after the victories? Please guide us through what I'm sure is the lashes of all lashes.
So when I was at uni playing rugby, I played in the freshers 15 varsity, and then the under 21s varsity at Twickenham, and then I did 3 track and field varsity matches as well. So there were only two rugby varsity matches, but the lash after the 21s, when we actually stuffed Cambridge at Twickenham, but I think at the time it was a record score, so there was a fairly heavy fairly heavy session after that. Which was good fun. It's one of those things where you guys obviously know, playing rugby, it's at the time, it's, you know, you're so focused in on winning something like a varsity match, which the whole season, it's kind of like the grand final, the whole season is building towards that, that when you kind of achieve it and then you just get to let off some steam with the lads, it was yeah, I think we had a sore head and a sore liver for a few weeks afterwards.
Well, Sean, just to finish off on rugby before we move into your real career, we're fascinated by initiations on this podcast. Can you take us through what you have to do to become a member of the Oxford Rugby Club?
I think I can remember there being some sort of like toilet roll that gets set on fire and then you've got to drink a pint before it burns your arsehole.
Yeah, I love that one. I love that
it's
one.
It's a good one. That's a fan favourite.
Yeah. Is that the one where they put the toilet, loo roll in your mouth and set it on fire and then you have to...
It's not in your mouth, but they do set it on fire.
Yeah, they do the mouth one at the Clapham Falcons. If you get to get to 50 caps, you do the loo roll in the mouth, set it on fire. Then you have to run up the field before your face burns.
There was also a Chunda mile, which is where you have to do a pint of, so it's obviously four laps of an athletics track or a quad, and then you have to do a pint of a different, so like a Guinness, a lager, gin and tonic, and then something else. And I think the last one's salt water, whilst doing laps of the quad, and that was fairly disgusting, but. That's one of the initiations.
When you're back in L Town, it's London. Let me know when you got a night free, and we'll tackle the Triangle of Terror in Clapham. I think you'd enjoy it. If you like Chunda Mile, you like the Triangle of Terror. Do you know? You know the Sun Pub in Clapham?
I know of it. Yes.
Yeah. We start there, and the rest is history. You'll enjoy it, mate. You'll enjoy it.
Dangerous.
Sean, how did you then go from being an Oxford-educated rugby player and performer on the track and field? To being at the top of your game in the fitness, modelling and personal training world. How did you make that move?
Having played rugby and then I got injured in my second year quite badly and there was quite a long sort of process to recovery. I couldn't play rugby for a long time, but one of the things that I could do was go to the gym. And it was kind of during that second year that, and I was also, because I wasn't playing rugby, I was also going out a lot more and sort of socialising, you know, meeting girls, all that sort of stuff.
Spreading your seed.
Yeah, just having a good time at uni. And it was kind of like when I got fit again and my injury kind of wasn't so much of an issue and I had the choice to go back and play rugby again or continue kind of living a slightly freer, had more time on my hands, more time for the training. I actually had the epiphany that I actually enjoyed training and doing the gym more than I enjoyed doing the rugby. So it was just one of those conscious decisions to then start putting more time and effort into learning about the gym, training myself, developing my body, that sort of stuff. I then got qualified as a personal trainer. When university finished, I kind of had the choice of take the path that a lot of people were doing, which was if you study at Oxford, you become a lawyer or you go and work in the city, you become a broker, trader, work in finance, or I could continue doing what I was doing, which I really enjoyed and loved and was actually making pretty good money at the time. So I thought, you know what, I'll keep doing what I was doing in terms of PTing and in fitness. And then I moved to London and kind of the rest is history, really.
Well, you've won some wonderful accolades as a fitness model in your own right.
Are you talking to me or Sean?
No, I'm talking to Sean here, okay, Archie. The 2011 UK champion, 2011 European, then 2012-14 world champion, to name but a few. How good does it feel to put on a small pair of budgies and show off your chassis? How did you make the move into modelling from, you know, just the training side of things? And what are the weirdest interactions? I've always imagined those events to be, you know, sort of full of slightly odd people at times. What are the weirdest sort of interactions and people you've met over the years at those competitions?
A lot of those questions you should be asking me as well, but carry on, Staffs.
I actually got into the competing side of things as a bit of a bet with a colleague at one of the gyms I was working at. So when I started, I'd literally just finished playing rugby and didn't really have a massive focus for my training and it wasn't really super motivated. And then as this thing called fitness competitions and physique competitions had just kind of started in the UK. They were quite big in the States and quite big in Europe, but in the UK, they were still quite small. And a colleague at work said, we should do this. I wonder who would win out of me and you. And I said, yeah, it's a great idea. And so, you know, you diet and you train for 3 months. And this was for the UK championships, which is in 2011. And so I dieted hard, trained really hard, whacked on a pair of budgies and painted myself dark brown, got on stage and ended up winning that show kind of first time off the bat, which was surprising. And then that got me an invitation to compete in the Europeans, which was like 6 months later. So then I kind of went back to the drawing board, worked on my training a bit, tried to improve, went to Iceland to compete in the Europeans and ended up winning that. So from like within, I think, 8 months, I went from being like an injured, broken rugby player to being a European champion in physique and winning my pro card. So I qualified as then a professional, which means you can then go and compete on the pro circuit and win money. So like if you win a pro competition, you end up winning a couple of grand, and it pays for your flights and your food and your training and stuff. So having won the European, I then got an invite to the World Championships, which was in Toronto, Canada, which was, I think, was 8 months later. So again, went back to the drawing board, reprogrammed myself, and then went to kind of win that one, and ended up being the first UK sort of British guy to go over to the States and win the World Championship. So kind of my first 18 months in physique competition was kind of 3-0, going from a nobody to a pro world champion. So it was a pretty good start.
There's a film there. There's a film.
There's definitely a movie. I might pitch.
Jeremy Irvine. He's been on the podcast. He could play you. Or I mean, he could use me as his body double, and he could do the acting.
Well, it's not a bad idea.
Obviously, doing these competitions, you know, you and me both quite big on the old Instagram, both influencers in the fitness space. Do you get weird requests coming in? You know, can I come to a hotel room and just touch your body for an hour for a couple of grand?
Oh yeah, yeah, a lot. Less now, which is quite disappointing. So I used to get.
It's good money though, isn't it? I mean, I'm clearing
great
up.
Money. Like, yeah, it's great money. The best one I've ever heard on this was a mate of mine in the States who someone propositioned him to come to a hotel room and play with a train set, and he would pay him in a lifetime supply of cold cut meats.
I'd take that. So, I'd do that.
Yeah, I'd probably take it as well. Like, depending on whether it's high quality deli meat. But so that was an interesting one. You get a lot of people asking you to squash fruit. It's called muscle worship, like squash fruit in certain body parts. For a couple of grand to go.
Have you ever done it?
I wish I had now.
It's okay. I've done a few. I do get quite a lot of requests in Clapham. Lovely guy, actually, guy called Graham. He's a big fan of the podcast. I go round to his house.
Hi, Graham.
Sit on cold steak. Like freezing cold steak from a freezer. He gets me just to sit on it on a chair in nothing but my Manscaped shorts. And I made a killing.
Yeah. Yeah, put it into a low yield bond or an ISA or something, and you'll be laughing, right?
Well, I'm investing it in this built on project. That
the irony of you sitting on cold steak to them.
Exactly. It is. Yeah. And there's a story. When I talk to investors, it will, you know, that's the strap line from cold meat to built on. Commercial
break. Hello, AC Limited. You're through to our hotline. How can I help you? Hello there. I've just been awfully lonely and in isolation, and I was wondering if I could have a bit of a naughty chat. No worries, sir. I'll put you right through.
Hi there. It's the magician here, aka the chief chat officer. I hope this finds you well. Let's have some chatter and let's see if we can come to some kind of a arrangement, if you know what I mean.
Introducing the CCO hotline from AC Limited. Never be alone again. Coming live next week to report near you.
Sean, you own City Athletic, which is so much more than just a gym. What made you want to create your own cutting edge performance facility? Did you fund it yourself initially? And more importantly, from Anthony Joshua to the Fulham football team and all the incredible celebrities in between, how have you managed to attract such high-profile clients?
The reason why we came up with it, so it was myself and a guy that I was working with in central London called Ben. We basically were working in a standard commercial gym, and we both had backgrounds in professional sport. And the stuff that we wanted to do with our clients, we couldn't do in a commercial gym. So we kind of had the idea of, could we create something that was a little bit more sort of niche and a little bit more bespoke? Because, you know, as the magician will know, people in the city are quite alpha, and they, yeah, a lot of them have a heritage in sport. And so we thought there was a gap in the market for something that was a little bit more niche and a little bit more performance and sport driven. So we came up with a business plan, found some investment, sort of at the time it was our clients. So we had a couple of clients who were looking to invest in the space, and we
high net worth chassis, we call them
high net worth individuals that kind of not only backed our plan, but kind of backed us as blokes. And they lent us some money, became shareholders and partners in the business. And we then set about finding a space, kitting it out, and just trying to make it a really different type of proposition for people looking for gyms. So our whole thing was, we wanted to create an atmosphere and an environment that would be akin to a professional sports environment. So we kitted it out with top of the range equipment. We hired, or we went and we try and recruited sort of the best performance coaches around. A lot of them had backgrounds in professional sport. We partnered with people like the Altitude Center. So we have an altitude training, an altitude chamber within our club. We have sports injury clinics, and we cap the membership. So there's only ever 400 members of each of our clubs, so that regardless of what sort of time you come in, it's never overcrowded. You can really get on with your workout in a proper way, rather than having a scrap over dumbbells and kettlebells and racks and bars like you do in a lot of commercial gyms. And I think it was those differences that kind of attracted a lot of the people that, and a lot of the sportsmen and sports teams that ended up coming in and using it. I think the altitude chamber was a massive draw. So that's kind of what got the likes of Anthony Joshua, Fulham Football Club, Mo Farah,
me,
James Haskell, who I know
Fridge.
Is a big fan of
the Fridge.
Yeah, big fan of the podcast. So that's kind of what attracted a lot of those guys in. And it's just a slightly different offering to your normal commercial gym.
I like going down there. Just, I guess you get the feeling that you're in the company with elite rigs. You know, you go, when I go to somewhere, guilty, I have been to Fitness First in Clapham Junction. Okay, I know a lot of people in that area of Clapham that work at Fitness First. I know people in high positions in Fitness First, great company, going through some tough times at the moment, and hopefully I can bail them out. But, you know, I go in there and I see a lot of sloppy rigs, you know, guys who are part-time gym goers, you know, just doing, you know, bicep curls, you know, they're ignoring their triceps. But when you go to City Athletics, you just see guys who, you just look at them in the eye and you know they're not just successful in the gym, but they're successful in the boardroom, and they automatically get my respect. And that's when I can hand them my business card, and it's not just a great place to keep fit, but also meet potential clients. And that's, you know, one thing I've always said to staff, I really appreciate, you know, him allowing me to do my BD there.
Yeah, as in, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks, Staff. Staffs, on a serious note, obviously this is the Rig Biz podcast, and you know, no one's better suited to be on here than yourself. How stressful has the last year been for you as a business owner? And how, I mean, look, you look remarkably good for someone who's probably had quite an up and down year. What would you say to the listeners in terms of, you know, successful business? How do you cope with that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, I think, and it's something we try and spread out to a lot of our members and a lot of our staff at the moment, is this is a temporary blip. Obviously, when you're looking at balance sheets and profit and loss accounts, and you see the bank account shrinking and stuff, and especially for us being shut and the government closing us down, sort of during the lockdown, was actually better and probably less stressful for us than when we were open in a tiered system. Because, as you know, being open in the tiered system when the message from the government is to work from home means that we are open for business. We're not fully staffed, but we're staffed. We're open. We have overheads that are fairly huge because we're big central London spaces, but then we just don't have the customers because there's no one in central. That was probably more stressful than, say, as it is now when we are actually closed. Because our staff can be furloughed, we can look for some other government support, our overheads can be reduced. But it's absolutely, it's a super stressful time, not only for businesses like ours, but for any business that relies on customers and relies on footfall. And I think there's going to be a lot of pain in the central London business space. So I think it's going to have to come back down to landlords and landlords looking after tenants and the government doing what they can to allow small businesses and medium-sized businesses to get back on their feet.
I guess this whole pandemic has brought the opportunity of me going to Graham's house and offered me another way of getting income, you know.
Yeah.
So
and steak. Do you get to keep the steak?
I do. Yeah. But he pays me by the hour. So by hour two, it's he turns the heating up in the room, which is it's sweaty in there.
Sort of medium rare. Yeah. By the time you leave.
But no, it is edible.
Blue. And it's blue. It's blue on multiple levels.
Sean, of all your incredible achievements, the Everest Marathon, which is the world's highest marathon altitude, must be up there with one of, if not the greatest achievement. Can you tell us how bloody tough that was?
I'd say it's definitely the hardest thing I've ever done. It came around really bizarrely because a mate of mine, who set off on a challenge to run seven marathons in seven of the hardest marathons in the world in a year to raise a load of money. And he picked the Everest Marathon and came to see me grab a coffee and said, you know, can I use the altitude chamber at your gym? And I said, 100%, come and use it. It'll be great. And I said, so tell me a little bit more about this marathon up Mount Everest. And he says, it's the hardest marathon in the world. It goes from about 5,000 meters altitude down to about 3,000. Over the 42K, there's 7,500 meters of ascent and descent in gradient. He goes, it starts with a 2-week trek. And I was just like, Jesus, this sounds horrific. And I said, who are you doing it with? And he goes, no one. I don't know anybody that I don't know anybody that can do it with me. And I said, when is it? And he goes, 3 months. I said, I'm in.
Fuck yeah, no.
Went out to Nepal, raised about 20 grand for an orphanage out there.
Good basic, good starting basic salary that.
Yeah, good starting basics. And in Nepal, it definitely goes a bit further than in Clapham than Furnos. And yeah, just went about trekking up there, trying to survive and then run down. That's pretty much how it went.
Did you read David Goggins' book before you did it?
No.
Okay. Just out of interest. Because he did like ultra marathons.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Would you ever do one of those?
Nope.
Okay.
I think
answer. Like that. Yeah. That's a good business meeting. I've had some of those in the business meeting. Do you want to invest? Nope.
For me it was the actual marathon wasn't the hardest thing. For me, it was like the 10-day trek up to Everest Base Camp, where the start line was. Mm-hmm. That was pretty tough. Like every day, it gets a little bit harder. The environment takes a little bit more from you. There's a little bit less oxygen. There's a little bit less vegetation. The food gets worse. The sanitary conditions get worse. The weather gets worse. So it's kind of like a slow, gradual, just wearing you down. And then you start the race.
I've actually had it. That's weird because that's kind of the analogy I'd use for some of the nights I've had out in Clapham. You know, I've had a hard game of rugby, and you know the first couple of bars are a slog. You're not really feeling the mood. You know you're putting a lot of calories in your yourself. You're gonna have to burn it the next day. You go down Clapham High Street. You're not feeling it. It's a bit of a slog, but you get through the doors of Infernos. You get in there. And all of a sudden, you know, all that hard work and dedication, you know, to get to what is essentially your marathon in there. And then you bag yourself a nice little chica. And actually you think, you know what? It was worth the 500 calories.
Yes, 100%.
Archie's still looking to bulk up for the start of the Division 5 London South West League later this year. Yeah. Hopefully not too far away. What would your advice be to him on how to shore up his shares and get in better shape? I mean, what is the best three tips for fat loss?
Yeah, if he's looking to drop down, number one, and it's a bit of a cliche, but it is kind of true. It's all about energy balance. So if you're looking to drop body fat, you need to be in a calorie deficit. You need to be burning more calories than you're consuming every day.
Yeah.
That's kind of a given.
Yep.
In terms of your diet, it's a good idea to have a high protein diet so that you can retain muscle mass and kind of allow the muscles to repair. And then probably the third thing would be to follow a sort of progressive resistance program three to four times a week.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, then you're on a one way ticket.
And a lot of black coffee. A lot of black coffee, guys. I drink about 6 to 7 cups of black coffee between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. And that gives me perfect. The energy to... And I don't eat. I don't eat when you're drinking that coffee. I mean, I don't know if Stas will put his name to that, but that's going to be in my new book this Christmas. So technically,
do you know what? It will work. If you starve yourself and drink coffee, you will lose weight.
Yeah.
That's science.
There are some side effects, but it's, you know, it's worth it. If you're trying to get cut weight quickly, just don't eat and drink a lot of coffee. And don't, no water, just coffee, because the coffee will hydrate you.
Archie, I want to get your thoughts on Sean's workout routine.
Sure.
How does it compare to yours? And do you actually have any words of wisdom for him?
Yeah.
So Monday, we're looking at chest and back. Tuesday, and back. Quads and abs. Wednesday, rest or low state steady cardio. Thursday, biceps, triceps. Friday, hammies, calves, shoulders. And then he takes the weekend off. I mean, would you advise that?
Yeah. Weirdly, why are you been watching Sean from a distance? How do you know that?
That sounds like a solid routine.
Interesting technique. I mean, look, I'd do it very differently, Freddie. I would train my right arm and my right leg on a Monday. So my right side, complete right side, and then my left side, my left arm, left leg on a Tuesday. I have a rest day on Wednesday. And then it's just full body Friday. And then Thursday's just arms and neck and feet. But yeah, I mean, look, Sean is a chassis. I can't disagree with him. You know, he's in great nick. So... You know, it's when I see him at City Athletic, I always give him a nod. He always nods back. There's mutual respect, not just from the rig status, from the chat status. And look, we both have got a lot of coin. And, you know, together we will be launching Stafford and Cousin Biltong coming soon. And it will be pure beef Biltong, Wagyu beef Biltong. And it will be okay for vegans to eat as well.
Well, Sean, you've been an absolute legend,
sir. Thanks, mate.
We hope when you're back in this country, you may put your boots on one more time, put on your scrum cap, and return to play an exhibition game for the Falcons in Clapham. That would
I'd love to. I don't think I'm ever coming back, though. I think I ain't fucking leaving.
Thank you so much for giving me the time. We massively appreciate it. You're an absolute hero.
It's great to chat with you, mate. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me, guys. And best of luck with it all. Best of luck with... the Biltong, best of luck with the social media and best of luck with the podcast.
And a big shout out to Graham. So thanks for sponsoring this podcast, Graham.
Cheers, Graham.
Thank you, Shawnee. Have a good one, mate. Stay well. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, boss. Sean Stafford.
Yeah,
what more
yeah.
can I say?
Top.
He
top
looked
boy.
Fantastic
top
on the camera. I couldn't boy. Stop looking at just like he's in great shape.
Yeah, he's in nick. He's
yeah, yeah.
in nick.
Are you guys?
His name should be Nick because he's in nick.
He is in great nick.
Yeah,
he really, really
actually,
is.
That will be my nickname for him now going forward. Nick.
Yeah, yeah. I think it works.
Nick Stafford.
Yeah,
and they'll be like, sorry, mate. His name's Sean Stafford. I went, sorry, look, it's a nickname because he's in good nick. And they'll be like, good chat, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Really
like,
good
yeah.
chat.
And then I'll slip them my business card and then I'll say, you can find me on LinkedIn.
It's time for a member from Archie's Diary. You better sit back because it's going to get fiery. It's time for a member from Archie's Diary. If your girls are single, then make an inquiry. Well, guys, it's time for another installment of Archie's Diaries where we hear about his time spent in Canary Wharf of all places
and
during his gap year.
This is really helping a lot of people out there.
Well, luckily, this incredible section is brought to us by the wonderful guys from Suns. And Suns is a men's health brand, as you all know, that's helping guys with one of the key health issues they don't often talk about, how to keep their lids. And a lot of the guys, you know, we put up a little thing a couple of days ago saying, you know, tag a mate with your lid. And we had all these people tagging their friends being like, sort out your lid, sort out your lid. Yeah. We've only got about 6 weeks until we're out in the open. Get on it.
Yeah,
they do a one-month package, 3 months. You can
no
still
excuse.
Sort out your lid.
No excuse now. You've got 6 weeks to get it sorted. You can. I will not accept some guy coming with a schlid up to me on the Northcote Road saying, hey, mate, big fan of your work. Can I get a photo? No, you can't, mate.
Yeah,
because you didn't use the Rigbiz code.
Yeah, and you've got
to sort that out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now I can see the sun gleaming off your forehead.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, guys, you know, Suns deliver results in 9 out of 10
really
men.
Really pisses me off.
Do it via monthly or 3 monthly subscription plan. So all you have to do is go to Suns.
Lucky I'm in a good mood because of the pubs opening. Otherwise, I'd be in a bad mood.
Well, guys, all you have to do is go to suns.co.uk and put in the code RUBIS20 to get £20 off your first order. Guess what? You're going to have a lid again. Life will get better. We've had an awful last year. But the only way is up. So go to suns.co.uk and use the code RIGBIZ20.
Baby, for you and me, babe. The only way is up, baby. So pumped for pubs. 12th of April, The only way is up, baby. October, Sunday the 17th. Yesterday was one of my best days of my life. Definitely on par with my dad's second and third wedding. I finally made my Clapham Falcons debut. It was only a matter of time before I started pulling the strings, but it was better than I imagined. I got told after training on Thursday that I would be starting at 10, which gave me enough time to get my head in the game. I managed to get in 2 sunbeds, so I was looking pretty sick. Sick is my new word. I've learnt it in Clapham. I met a guy at work called Jonathan Remington Hobbs. Everyone calls him Jono. Such good chat. His family on the rich list, and he went to Harrow, but he's been brought up in the hard streets of Kensington, so he's got a bit of a London twang. He always says sick when something's good. I guess I'm picking up the language in my gap year. Anyway, I digress. I played the full 80 minutes away at Hammersmith Hussars, and we won 16-7. And I ran the line beautifully. The initiation was loose. I had to do a bum funnel with everyone in the team. Apparently at the end, I couldn't even speak. In fact, I was violently sick, started choking on my vomit, wet myself, and I had to call the paramedics. I had to spend the whole night in St. George's Hospital in Tooting on a drip. What a night, proper rugby night. The bonus was I didn't even have a hangover because of the drip. Had loads of texts from the boys saying they went to Inferno's, had the best night. They didn't say they missed me, but I get the sense they did.
Clubhouse stories, oh, initiations we all know. Clubhouse stories, oh, initiations we want to know them now.
So, Archie, we're bringing another Clubhouse story.
Clody, I absolutely love this section. The amount of chat I'm getting in my old DMs is glorious.
Well, I can imagine.
People just love Clubhouse banter.
Well, I've had a sort of a brief...
I don't think there is a Clubhouse in the country that doesn't have any kind of banter. In fact, if there is, they should demolish that team.
Close the club.
Yeah, yeah.
Mate, I completely agree with you. Well,
it'd be quite cool if we like toured up and down the country just getting all the random bits of banter, collating all the banter in the country at the rugby clubs, and then make a book called Banter at Rugby Clubs.
Yeah, needs a bit of work with the words, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
I think it's something.
Can you just call it Clubhouse Stories?
Yeah, but they'd have to know there's so much banter coming out.
Yeah, it'd have to come with like a warning sign, may explode because of the banter.
So when people ask me what a clubhouse is like, I always say, you know when you run a bath at home with Epsom salts because you're just trying to reduce the muscle swell after a game, and then you forget the bath is running and it overspills and you have water everywhere. That is what a clubhouse is like. It's just overspilling with chat and like pitter-patter, banter. And yeah, it's just so good.
Well,
it's like a messy bathroom.
Well,
that's like the changing rooms are actually a bit like that as well. It's almost like the clubhouse is overrun into the changing rooms because there's so much banter and it's coming out in the showers.
Well, this story seems to be
so good. Having showers in the clubhouse, underneath the clubhouse, we have our showers underneath the clubhouse, and you could just feel the banter coming out of the showers.
Right, okay. Well, should we get onto the story, Arch?
Yeah. I'm just saying, I love to wash myself in banter.
Well, this week's entry comes from a certain Daniel Reed.
Even the soap has banter. And it smells of banter.
Come on, Arch.
Sorry.
This week's entry comes from a certain Daniel Reed, and it seems on a quick
Reedo!
He may be slightly stronger in the charts than our previous two efforts, but here it goes. I'll read it out, and you can analyse.
Goo.
Dear the CEO of Clapham,
yep,
Archie
that's me.
Curzon,
that's me.
I hope this finds you well.
It does. Carry on. Looks like we're going to be doing some business.
Below is my rugby story, and I hope you thoroughly enjoy it.
If it's a rugby story, it's likely I will.
My initiation
story. If it was a hockey story, I fucking wouldn't.
My initiation story began in Japan.
Actually, has anyone written in a story like from a hockey club, Fred?
Luckily
you tell
not.
Me, because
luckily
if I
not.
Do have any of that, they'll have some strong words with them.
My initiation story began in Japan, where my club partook in the Sanix Youth World Championship. After my first night on my trip, I instinctively remember getting a message on my phone from the second years instructing me to turn up to their dorm at precisely 8 p.m. Completely naked with my iPhone unlocked.
Yeah.
I was under clear instructions.
He's naked.
He's naked.
Yeah. Okay. This guy's a rugby boy.
I was under clear instructions to neither be a minute late nor a minute early, as it would result in further punishment.
Yeah. Bang on time.
Upon arrival, I was ushered.
That's not just in rugby. That's in the city as well. Don't be a minute late or a minute early. Be bang on time. Business will not let you off the hook.
Upon arrival, I was ushered into their room and was welcomed with some devastating dead arms and dead legs.
Okay, yeah. This is a proper rugby story.
Shortly after this, I was dragged underneath a scalding hot shower and made to drink a concoction which seemed to contain urine and a Japanese equivalent of liquid shit.
Yeah. I've had similar. But when I was at school, from the sixth form.
As you can assume, I was violently sick after seconds of consumption.
Yep, welcome to rugby.
And made a complete mess stand myself.
Yeah.
Minutes later, I was...
But he's got the respect. That's the important thing.
Minutes later, I was unpleasantly convinced by the second years to drink and swallow a shot of my own sick.
Yep. Yeah, that's... To be fair, every guy who's played rugby has at least... had a shot of their own sick, if not a couple of pints.
I had now completed my initiation, having finished off my own sick and drunk piss and shit. However, I couldn't help but feel part of a much bigger group.
Yeah, that is a superb rugby story. I'd give that 8 out of chat. That's some pretty
good... Our highest scorer to date, Mr. Yeah. Daniel Reed.
Yeah.
He's on the leaderboard and he's at the top.
Reedy has produced the goods. And, you know, the nice thing is we'll probably have some international listeners who haven't really or don't really understand the world of rugby. And now they will.
Well, thank you for reading my story. I hope it gets the chance to appear in the pod. And Daniel, it has done.
Reedy, you're welcome. It looks like he could be joining us for the last episode. That's a superb story. And actually, when he comes on, I'd like to ask him some further questions about that night. I'd like to know where I can go and have that.
Well, guys, if you think you can beat that...
Can't wait to get out there and have a pint of sick.
If you think you can beat that story, then please email into rugbizpod@gmail.com.
Can I have a pint of sick?
With your story.
I'd like to chop a pint of sick for the boys. Boys, I'm doing a pint of sick.
Arch, that brings an end to another fantastic episode, I must say.
A bloody pod.
Yeah.
People will already be in a good mood, knowing that, you know, they will be soon unleashed into Clapham.
Well, they can't
not. But now they're listening to us, mainly me, in their ear, and they're thinking, yeah. That's a bloody good pod.
Two for the price of one.
We didn't concede any tries.
None.
We rarely gave away a penalty.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it was near enough the complete performance.
Occasional knock on in the interview.
That's always happens. Yeah. We're not even halfway through the season.
No, true.
But I'm feeling great. I feel match fit. If anything, I'd be going to the coach saying, "Give me more minutes. Give me more time. Let's find other opposition. Let's have a midweeker."
No, I completely agree.
Yeah,
with
I am so. I'm so.
You just want to play. You want to get out there.
I'm electric. I'm just. Oh, you know what? I just know. I've got the confidence. You give me the ball, something's going to happen. I don't even know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going to happen.
Me neither.
I'll just spot a gap. I might kick it. I might chip it.
Drop goal.
I might drop goal it.
Yeah.
I might dummy. I might throw it out the back, behind my back. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just one of
the... All options are open. The world is bad.
What I imagine Ollie Barkley felt when he was playing.
Yeah.
In his prime.
He had everything.
Yeah.
Well, guys, please don't forget to share, subscribe, like, and comment. We want your best comments.
Yeah.
And guys, introduce a friend to the RigBits.
Yeah. Can people start doing that?
Yeah.
Because it's actually rude.
No, I agree. I agree.
You know, when I do good business with someone in the business world, I will write on their LinkedIn and say, look.
You endorse them.
I endorse their skills.
Yeah, and then you tell your friends about
them. All we're asking is people to go in here and say, yeah, this guy has got great chat.
Yep.
And the other guy, yeah, good luck to him.
Yeah. Okay, well, guys, please don't forget to do that. Also, the Lash Bear T-shirts, they're taking one last order until the weekend. And
that's
then
more money for me, baby.
You will never, ever, ever be able to get them again. They're doing one last order.
Yeah,
so
guys,
buy
10. I'll put that money in my pocket. Yeah. I'll buy you a drink when I'm out lashing and Clapham.
Well, guys, please,
baby.
If you want to get one of those. Also, incredible caps from Rex Club and the wonderful products we got from Suns, Manscaped, and Fresh Fitness Food.
Just buy it all, guys. Just buy it all.
I'll tell you what. They can have a wonderful lid.
Yeah.
They can have incredible chassis thanks to Fresh Fitness Food.
Yeah.
And then they can have a just wonderful smelling and beautifully manicured pubic hair bone and all that stuff. So when we get Unleashed on April the 12th, they will be at their
there's
prime.
There's no excuse.
No.
This is
self-help.
That's what I'm excited to see. I'm just excited to go through Clapham, smelling success, seeing some great lids, seeing fantastic chassis, and just enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just enjoying it, Freddie.
No, I completely agree with you.
Woo!
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. It's time for me to let Archie go from the studio and shout.
I'm doing press ups.
Archie, come on.
Count me out.
1, 2, three, four, five. We're lower. Well, Archie, it is time for you to go shout to the top from the rooftops and enjoy yourself. Guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Well, we're gonna shout to the top. We're gonna shout to the top. We're gonna shout to the top, shout. We're gonna shout to the top, shout. We're gonna shout to the top, shout. We're gonna shout to the top.